certainly a blessing to be here this morning. It's a blessing to be here last night. Hear the wonderful gospel of grace declared to us. You know, the gospel is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. The gospel is the power of God, the dynamite of God. That word power there means dynamite. It is the dynamite of God to everyone that believeth. The gospel has power in it. Now, the gospel is not all of God's power, but it is the power of God. There's a big difference, you know, because God has power apart from the gospel. Before I get started, I have a story I'll tell you concerning a husband and wife in our area. This lady, who is one of the caretakers of one of our members, came to church. Her and her husband came to church, and she's a Church of God. But she's a very wonderful person. And she immediately fell in love with the gospel of grace. Now, her husband, not so. But I've had wonderful discussions with her, and of course she was hung up on some things. And she says, "Pastor, you have taken everything away from me that I once held to." I said, "Thank God." Thank God. But her husband, he came with her. And he told her, he said, "Pastor doesn't preach enough about hell." And I told her, "Invite him back. I'll give him all he wants." Not preach him to hell, but tell him who did save people from hell. Save from the wrath to come. That was Jesus Christ. I begin this morning in the Acts of the Apostles, chapter 13, very familiar portion of Scripture to you. I'll begin in verse 42. "And when the Jews were gone out of the synagogue, the Gentiles besought that these words might be preached to them the next Sabbath. And when the congregation was broken up, many of the Jews and religious proselytes followed Paul and Barnabas, who, speaking to them, persuaded them to continue in the grace of God. And the next Sabbath day came almost the whole city together to hear the word of God. But when the Jews saw the multitudes, they were filled with envy and spake against those things which were spoken by Paul, contradicting and blaspheming. Then Paul and Barnabas waxed bold and said, 'It was necessary that the word of God should first have been spoken to you, but seeing he put it from you, and judge yourselves unworthy of everlasting life, lo, we turn to the Gentiles. For so hath the Lord commanded us, saying, I have set thee to be a light to the Gentiles, that thou shouldest be for salvation unto the ends of the earth.' And when the Gentiles heard this, they were glad and glorified the word of the Lord, and as many as were ordained to eternal life believed." Now, the book of Acts is a wonderful book. Of course, all the books of the Bible are wonderful. But the book of Acts is the history, or a short history, of the apostles in the early days and the establishment of churches and the church at Jerusalem and Pentecost and how the gospel went out from Jerusalem and how that a remnant of those Jews were converted by the gospel and the Holy Spirit fell upon them. How that the broadcast of the gospel was increased, and that how that God opened the door of faith unto the Gentile people. By and large, the gospel was rejected by the Jews. But it was the Jewish believers that were commanded at God's time, as He opened the door to the Gentiles, to preach the gospel unto them. Now, it was always the design of God to bring Gentiles in. I mean, the Jews did not have to be cut off for God to bring Gentiles in. All you got to do is read the Old Testament. And those prophecies concerning that the door would be open to the Gentile people, and yet they did not fully understand this wonderful truth. But isn't it wonderful that God, in His design, opened the door of faith unto Gentiles, and that we have been blessed to hear the gospel of the Lord Jesus, and that we have been blessed to believe in the wonderful, precious Savior that died for us. The Apostle Paul had a great burden for his countrymen. He prayed for them. He prayed for God's people among them. Those that had a zeal of God, he prayed for them. He prayed to God. They had a zeal of God. Now we know that not all Israel, which is of Israel, we know that all of them were not covenant children of God in Christ. We know that. But many of them were, and they did not believe the truth. They did not believe that Jesus was the Messiah. And therefore, they were cut off. But He prayed for them. And He went into the synagogues and He reasoned with them out of the Scriptures. Not that He would save them for heaven. Not that He would save them from hell. But He would save them from their false religion and the concept that they had, that they might be brought to Jesus Christ and that they might trust in Him as the Savior. Oh, that's a wonderful blessing to be able to see Christ, that He is the Savior and that He is the Redeemer and that He died, and those who He died for, He saved, and everyone He saved, they are secure in Him. That's a wonderful blessing to believe, to be delivered from whatever teaching, whatever doctrine that men are in. And so we find here that these people, the Gentiles, who were proselytes, besought that these words might be preached to them the next Sabbath. That is, they wanted to hear more about this. And the next Sabbath came almost the whole city together to hear the Word of God. How would you preachers like that? You'd like that, wouldn't you? I would. The whole city. Now, some, no doubt, out of curiosity came, but there were those that came really wanting, hungering to hear. And it says these Jews became envious, and they spake against those things that were spoken by Paul, contradicting and blaspheming. Yeah. And then it says that Paul and Barnabas waxed bold. He said it was necessary that you should first hear the gospel, but seeing He put it from you, and judge yourselves unworthy of everlasting life. Lo, we turn to the Gentiles. And it didn't say they didn't have everlasting life. It said they judged themselves unworthy.
Right.
of everlasting life. Because God's people among them had everlasting life. I can assure you that they had everlasting life, that nothing was going to change that. Their unbelief was not going to change the fact of their destiny to glory. Wasn't going to change that. But I tell you what it did change. It changed their comfort and their consolation in believing in the Messiah and the victory of the Lord Jesus. It did change that. It does make a difference in what God's people believe. It does make a difference. Not for their eternal destiny, but it does make a difference in their personal life of who they believe in and what they believe. And it says here that they turn from the Jews and preach the gospel here to the Gentiles, which was prophesied of in Isaiah 49 and Isaiah 42. You can take your choice. Just choose both of those chapters. They're very similar. But it says here, and this is what I want to get to. I said you ought to got to it already. But anyway, this is what I want to get to. It says, I have set thee to be a light to the Gentiles, that thou shouldest be for salvation unto the ends of the earth. And when the Gentiles heard this, they were glad and glorified the word of the Lord, and as many as were ordained to eternal life believed. Now that tells us several things. That as many at that particular time among the Gentiles, at this particular situation, at this particular circumstance, at this particular hearing of the gospel, those Gentiles that were ordained. I want you to get that one. Were ordained to what? They were ordained to eternal life. Now, were they ordained to eternal life because they believed? Were they ordained to eternal life because they repented? No. Who ordained them to eternal life? Well, that's a no-brainer. God ordained them to eternal life. God was the one that chose them in Christ and predestinated them to glory and predestinated them to be conformed to the image of His Son, and nothing would change that. They were ordained. They were, past tense. This is God's action. God's active in this. They were ordained to eternal life. Those that were ordained to eternal life believed. Now I would submit to you that they who were ordained to eternal life believed. That's what it says. But does that mean in every case God's children believe who are ordained to eternal life? No. But it does tell us something else. That everyone that has the power and the capacity and the will to believe is already a child of God. Already. See, the believing never does bring a person out of death to life. The act of the person believing never brings them out of death to life. Never does bring them out of the pit. Never does bring them out of that pit. But the believing is the proof, the fruit, and the evidence that they are children of God. And we could go to a lot of Scripture, but like Brother Harold said, you know, you want to preach the one who did the ordaining, the one who did the saving, and the one who is the personal Redeemer and Savior of our soul. Believing in Jesus is a blessing to all of us. And believing in Jesus has power in it. Believing in the Lord Jesus Christ, I'll tell you what. I'm glad that when I was young, that God changed my heart and blessed me to believe. You see, believing is the act of the child of God, not of the alien sinner who's dead in sin. Always, never the reverse in God's Word. Believing is always the fruit, the product of a child of God in his action of believing. So it is that whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. The Lord Jesus, in the 5th chapter of the Gospel according to John, verse 24, He says, "Verily, verily, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life." That's in possession of it. "Hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation," shall not come into condemnation, "but is passed." Past completed action is passed from death unto life. Every time you find someone believing, they've already passed from death unto life, not because they are believing, but because that the grace of the Spirit of God has changed their hearts and quickened them into divine life. But the believing child of God has a comfort and a consolation, doesn't he? I mean, you know, believing is the blessing whereby that we're able to embrace Jesus, that we're able to trust in Him, that He did save us from our sins, and it gives us assurance that we are who we are. In the 11th chapter of the Acts of the Apostles, we find where that those men that were driven out of Jerusalem because of persecution, they went preaching Christ. And it says that the hand of the Lord was with them, and a great number believed and turned to the Lord. They were already children of God, but these children of God heard about Jesus, and the hand of the Lord was with those that were preaching the gospel and was with those that heard it, those Grecians, and they believed and they turned to the Lord. I want God's people to believe and turn to the Lord. I want them to turn to the Lord. You see, believing and turning to the Lord won't merit you a home in heaven. We already know that. But it will be a blessing unto you as you travel here in this world.
That's right.
Oh, the church of Jerusalem, they were glad to hear this news. And they sent Barnabas. And you know, Barnabas, the son of consolation, they sent the right man to Antioch. And when he came and had seen the grace of God, he was glad and exhorted them all that with purpose of heart they would cleave unto the Lord. The word cleave means to be glued or bonded to the Lord. It means to hold steadfast with all that you have to the Lord. I'll tell you, He's the only one I can hold steadfast to. He's the only one that I can really trust in. He's the only one that I can cleave to, and that I know that He is always there for me. Even though I always don't feel His presence, I know He's there. I know that Jesus, in His omniscience and in His omnipresence, is everywhere in His Spirit. You see, the hand of the Lord. We can't do anything really good without the hand of the Lord. I mean, this was indeed amazing that the hand of the Lord was with them, and these Grecians believed and they turned to the Lord. And when Barnabas saw the grace of God, that is the manifestation of these believers, the church, he was glad. And they sought out. He sought out Saul and brought him. He brought him to Antioch. And they taught the church a whole year. And many were added to the Lord. That's not saying that people were added to the Lord that were not already the Lord's. They were added to the Lord openly and manifestly, and they became followers of the Lord Jesus. And it says that they were called the disciples. They were already disciples. The disciples were called Christians first in Antioch. They were first called Christians or called Christians first in Antioch. They were already children of God. They were already disciples, but others called them Christians because they followed Jesus Christ. They followed the teachings of Jesus Christ. They disciplined their life after the Lord Jesus Christ. They bear Him in their walk, in their talk. I'll tell you why. They were identified as Christians. Somebody says, "Are you a Christian?" Well, I try to be. I hope I am. And if you could see in this old flesh that I endeavor to follow Christ, I'll give Him the honor and the praise. You know, the word Christian is mentioned three times in the New Testament. Twice in the Acts of the Apostles and once in 1 Peter chapter 3, talking about being a Christian. You know, all Christians are children of God. But not all children of God are Christians.
Amen.
You mean prove that? These were called Christians first in Antioch because they bear the image. They walk the walk. And they follow the Lord Jesus. When the Apostle Paul in the 26th chapter of Acts was before King Agrippa and Festus in that court, and he gave the defense of the gospel and related his experience of grace there, how that Jesus met him in the way. Brethren, it was Jesus who changed him, because the gospel didn't. No, the gospel didn't change him, but Jesus did. And when Jesus changed him, then he was ready for the gospel.
That's right. Yeah.
Jesus changed him, and Jesus put him into the apostleship, and Paul was defending the gospel. He was preaching the gospel to Festus, King Agrippa, and that court. And you know, Festus said, with a loud voice, "Much learning that makes me mad." He said, "You're mad. You've learned so much, you're just mad." He said, "I am not mad, most noble Festus, but the things that I speak to you with truth and soberness." And then he said, "The king knoweth." Listen, "the king knoweth of the things that I speak, for this thing was not done in a corner." And then he asked King Agrippa a question. He says, "Believest thou the prophets?" And he didn't give him time to answer. He said, "I know that thou believest." All right, here we have a believer. If we have a believer, we have a born-again person, don't we? If we have a believer, we have a born-again person. And then King Agrippa said, "Almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian." Now, you've heard that preached on a lot out here in the world. And they say, "Almost you persuaded me to accept Jesus and be born again." But no, he's already born again. He's a believer. But almost he was persuaded to be a Christian. Almost. But he would not leave his position. Those children of God will not leave their position to become a follower of Christ.
That's right.
They will not leave their position. And we got a lot of them, I think.
Right.
Then Peter says, hastening on, Peter says, "If any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on this behalf." On what behalf? Of suffering as a Christian. We don't know a whole lot about that in this day and time, do we? That is suffering from the world. Now, we have a stigma on us, that's true. But really, suffering as a Christian, I'll tell you, but it may come. The freedoms may be far removed from us, and the test will come. Will we follow Christ? We will be ashamed of owning His name. But God, give us grace to stand up and say, I believe in Him. I love Him. And He's my King. We only have one. His name is Jesus.